So, good evening, everyone. What I will show today is an example of application performance troubleshooting that was mostly done by my former colleague Marco Guerri in the context of the benchmarking working group. And the objective is to give you an idea of how to approach performance problems with real-world examples. And in particular, I will focus on Dirac Benchmark 12 that Domenico introduced in the previous presentation. So, as he said, is one of the benchmarks that is currently investigated in the benchmarking working group. And the goal of the working group is to come up with fast benchmarks that can assess the performance of job slots in the grid. So ideally, these benchmarks need to be quick, so have a reduced runtime, and scale well with the experiment's workload. So Dirac Benchmark 12, what is it? It's a Python script. It's quite small, 100 lines of code, and it has a runtime of about 2 minutes. And it's basically an iteration of a normal variate function of random module that samples from a normal distribution. Then these samples are combined together with multiply accumulate operation. Why is this relevant? Again, because it's considered to scale well with the LHCb workload, so it's supposed to be an excellent predictor of the performance of the Monte Carlo simulations of LHCb. So it was tested extensively in many different platforms, and in particular, we were having a look at these two machines, Ivy Bridge and Haswell. They were identical in terms of number of cores, number of threads, base clock frequency, turbo clock frequency. They indeed had a different RAM subsystem, and they were running CentOS 7. So we knew what to expect from a transition to a different microarchitecture. For example, we knew that HapSpec with 32 threads was running about 3% faster. We knew that HapSpec single thread was running about 8% faster. We could see that Dirac with 32 threads was running about 12% faster. But what we did not expect was that Dirac single thread was running 40% faster on Haswell. And this was too much. We could not explain this just with a general purpose improvement of the architecture. So there had to be something specific to Dirac that would accelerate it to this extent. So what we did, we started with a function profiling, so breaking down the contribution of the execution time. And you can see at the top Ivy Bridge and at the bottom Haswell. And it turns out that 40% of the runtime, so here you have the runtime and here the cumulative value, was coming from a function that was coming from the Python interpreter. And this was the same for all the other contributors. So the first contributor that was not coming from the Python interpreter was what we were looking for. So we thought we were benchmarking how fast we were generating random number. But the shared object implementing the random number generator was accounting only for 3% of the runtime. And before that, it was 60% only Python. So again, this was too much. And the first idea we had was that maybe the Python interpreter, by making use of a different instruction set, it could achieve such a performance speed up. So you know, Haswell introduces AVX2, and we thought that this was the reason of the speed up. So what we did afterwards was to go even deeper and have an instruction breakdown. And we did this with Software Developer Emulator, a nice tool from Intel that does binary instrumentation. And as you can see here, you have the assembly instructions. And here, of course, the occurrences, where the blue bars are Ivy Bridge and the red bars are Haswell. But again, there was no difference whatsoever. And this was true for all the contributors. So our hypothesis of a different instruction set was disproved. I just want to show another example that I think is relevant. The first instruction actually using AVX was a logarithmic function coming from libm. And it was accounting for about 2% of the runtime. And yes, it was using AVX, but only the first generation. So there was no difference between the instructions used on the two architectures. So Before proceeding, I think it's worth spending a bit of time understanding what Python Eval Frame X does. So it accounts for 40% of the runtime, then it must necessarily be important. As you know, when you write Python code, this code is translated into bytecode for the Python virtual machine. And it turns out that Python Eval Frame X is at the very core of the Python interpreter, so CPython. And in particular, you have a huge switch statement where your opcodes are fetched and dispatched by the switch statement to the corresponding case branch for execution. So, for example, if you have a load const, it will be fetched and dispatched and then executed in the corresponding case branch. So this was just a parenthesis to explain what Python Eval Frame X does, because it will be relevant for what will come next. So we still had no idea of what was happening. And what we did was to try to have a look at the basic performance counters since. And I will go through each of them one by one. So task clock is the wall clock time. Again, it's higher on Ivy Bridge, and 10 seconds more. And again, this was too much. We could accept a speed up of 20-25%, but 40% was too much. And we wanted to find an explanation for at least half of those seconds. So we were after at least 5 of those seconds. Context switches, well, clearly, if you have a longer runtime, you will have also a higher number of context switches. And apart from this, the difference was only 500 between the two architectures, which is negligible compared to what we were looking for. CPU migrations, only one on the wrong side, so nothing very interesting here. Page faults, very similar. Cycles, clearly higher on Ivy Bridge. Stalled cycles front end. So this is a measure of the number of cycles the front end of the pipeline is doing basically nothing. So it's waiting, for example, for instructions to be fetched. And this value is not available on Haswell, most likely because this is an aggregate counter. So on Haswell, you can dig deeper and break down the subcounters, but the global value was not available. Instructions, roughly the same number, which is a good sign. Branches, again, very similar. Branch misses. So here, the investigation started to be a bit more interesting. You can see that there is 80% difference in branch misses from Ivy Bridge to Haswell. So a branch miss is a mistake that the CPU does when trying to guess where a jump instruction will land. When the pipeline is fetching an instruction, it's already trying to predict where the next instruction will have to be fetched. And if this guess is correct, it means that you are fetching the right control path and dispatching to execution ports the right instructions. But if this guess is wrong, it means that you have to, once you realize you made a mistake, you have to flush everything and start from scratch. And this has a huge bearing on performance. So with an estimate of 20 cycles per branch miss prediction, it's difficult to estimate, but it's a reasonable guess. At 3.4 gigahertz, this was about 4 seconds, and it was really close to what we were looking for. So another consequence of executing the wrong control path is that you will pollute your caches. So you can see that the cache misses are higher on Ivy Bridge. Clearly, Haswell, since it's a newer microarchitecture, has a better prefetched logic. But for sure, also these misses took part into the these branch miss predictions. Took part into the cache misses. And we thought that the two things combined together were already a good explanation of what was happening. Then last level cache loads and misses are higher, basically because you are missing L1 going further down. So we wanted to focus on branch misses, and we wanted to understand where they were coming from. To do that, Perf is a great tool that can give us an idea of where these events are happening at the assembly instruction level. So we could see that 88% of these branch mispredictions were happening on Python Level 3 Max that we have seen before. 45% were happening on this jump instruction, and the others were basically associated with identical jumps. And it turns out that decoded properly, this is an indirect jump, and in particular, it was coming from the expansion of a macro called fast dispatch that is used in the Python interpreter. So the branch misprediction were happening on identical jumps on Python Eval FrameX. We had an explanation. What we wanted to do was to see how far we could go with a workload that was only or mostly relying on indirect jumps. So we wrote our dummy version of Python Eval FrameX with implemented with recursive macros where each label is calculating the next number in the Fibonacci sequence. And in the main, we had a pre-computed opcode that we were dispatching to this case statement. And of course, you can imagine two approaches to generate these opcodes, sequential or random. And considering what Python Eval FrameX does, random seem to be more appropriate. So we generated a sequence of 256 opcodes, which means that once you reach 256, you wrap up from the beginning. And we could see that on Ivy Bridge, it was running on 11 seconds, about 11 seconds, with 10% branch mispredictions, while on Haswell was running in 4.5 seconds with 0% mispredictions. And this is a speed up of about 150%. So this was the proof that branch prediction alone could speed up a workload that heavily relies on indirect jumps up to 150%. Now, there was just one missing piece to understand. How can Haswell do so well? Basically, 0% mispredictions means that he's always right. And this is what I will try to explain in this slide, but first, a disclaimer. I will show graphs that convey information for which either we don't have an explanation, or the explanation could be partial or maybe wrong. So it has to be taken with a grain of salt. Of course, understanding how this is implemented in hardware is very difficult because, well, it's very secret, and you will see results are a bit strange. So going back to the discussion about branch target prediction, you have an history table, and you index this table with what? With the address of the indirect jump. Of course, if your jump can land anywhere in your code segment, it means you will have terrible performance. However, if you can index with some more information that uniquely determine where the jump will land, then you will have much better performance. So for example, if you can index your table with the address of the indirect jump and the content of the register, then you will have 0% mispredictions up to the length of your table. Then it will start behaving like a cache. So you will start having misses and you will start having evictions. And this is most likely what happens on Haswell. So you can see that there are 0% or very few mispredictions up to 512 opcodes. This was generated with a random approach. Then after 512, it starts making mistakes. So is it really how is it implemented in hardware? We don't know, but what we can say is that, for example, AMD, with their new architecture, they have a history table called Indirect Target Array, which has exactly 512 entries. And it's very reasonable to assume that Haswell is doing something similar. Moving to the sequential opcodes, one could think that things cannot go worse, but that's not actually true. What's happening here, it's unclear. Up to 256 or slightly more opcodes, there are no mispredictions or very few. Then it starts making mistakes. Then at 512, it recovers and it flattens out the curve of the random sequence. Moving to Ivy Bridge, you can see performance are much worse. So it starts right away making mistakes. The explanation of this is that probably it still has an indirect target array but is not capable of indexing it properly. Moving to the sequential approach on Ivy Bridge, things are very similar, except that something analog happens as with the sequential sequence of Haswell. So again, after 512 opcodes, it recovers a little, and then it flattens the curve of the random sequence. So this marks the end of this investigation. The conclusion is that a much improved branch prediction on Haswell was causing the speedup of Dirac Benchmark 12 or any other workload that heavily relies on indirect jumps on Haswell compared to Ivy Bridge. I also want to report a paper that is called Branch Prediction and the Performance of Interpreters, which shows how branch prediction is no longer a critical element in interpreters starting from Haswell. And finally, we should carefully consider if Dirac Benchmark 12 is a good candidate as a fast candidate, since, as also Domenico pointed out, it seems that he spends most of his execution time on Python. On an unrelated note, I wanted to share with you the link of the benchmarking website of TechLab. TechLab is a project that aims to provide access inside CERN to all different kinds of hardware, so CPU architectures or accelerators. And the idea of this website is to collect a database of extensive benchmarks, and doing this, providing access to this data in a useful form, so without compromising confidentiality or management rights, for example, in case of hardware that is still under non-disclosure agreement. So check this out. You can benefit and contribute. Thank you for your attention.